If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kathleen, as the world becomes increasingly uncomfortable, we're all looking to just get as much comfort as we can in. I don't know about you, but being stuck in my house for the last, year or so has made me go a little insane. So the one thing that you can always count on is how comfortable your Purple mattress is.
And that's because Purple is comfort reinvented. Only Purple mattresses have the grid. And by the grid, I mean that really crazy stretchy gel material that's amazingly supportive for your back and your legs while cushioning your shoulders and your neck and your hips. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Plus, you don't overheat because the way that it's designed, the grid doesn't trap air. Air actually circulates and flows through it. We got a sample of the grid and it's just like spongy and cushy and so, so comfortable. So you can see how their mattresses are the best to sleep on.
Yeah. And unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, the memory foam has craters and divots because it's like, hey, your butt goes here. But what if your butt gets bigger or smaller? Then memory foam doesn't serve you so well.
The grid bounces back as you move and shift and grow. So Purple really is comfort for an uncomfortable world. And right now you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Just go to purple.com/taste10 and use the promo code taste10.
That's purple.com/taste and then the numbers 1 and 0 for 10% off of any order of $200 or more. purple.com/taste10, promo code taste10, terms apply. Like, how many tabs do you have open right now?
Just one. 5.
I've got 35.
Kathleen, what are some of them?
Facebook, WebMD, Canva.
Canva for sure is taking up.
Dummies.com. I don't even know why I was on this. Oh, dummies.com because I was reading ukulele music.
What else? What else are you closing out of?
ConversationStartersWorld.com. Okay. Oh, I have Acquired Taste Podcast open.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your Diet Coke drinking, cat birthday celebrating. Every bill in the world is hitting me today. And bye-bye money, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your dragon fruit eating. I just want to sand and stain literally everything. Light bulbs are my new best friends, friend.
If you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with us. And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and of course, we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
I'm talking about old wives' tales.
Ooh!
This is a topic that you inspired me because you were talking about brain function last week, and I was like, well, humans only lose 10% of their brains, and you're like, I was like, what? You know what? We should debunk all of these tales that we all believe.
Yeah.
What's on your plate this week, Bethany?
So, my topic is, why do people, specifically dudes, draw dicks on everything?
They do, don't they?
They do. I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about how there was this belief that the Mars rovers had drawn a penis. Like, and so, and this is not a new phenomenon.
Those are my kind of rovers. I know. I think it's funnier than you do, I suspect.
You're correct.
I love a good dusty car with a big dick drawn on the window.
And there are reasons why people draw penises on everything, and it's not a new thing. This has been happening for millennia, that people have been drawing dicks as graffiti and artwork on public spaces. And so we're going to talk about where it's happened and potentially the psychology behind why people draw penises.
I like this topic. Excellent choice, my friend.
It's hard-hitting journalism, Kathleen, and we're really talking about the important stuff today.
So you've been drinking a lot of Diet Coke lately?
Yeah, you know what? There was a period of time where I was drinking too much of it, and it was really how I got through the day. But now that we're in quarantine, I feel like quarantine has been about figuring out which thing gets you through the day that isn't going to lead to a massive and life-crippling addiction.
You know, so
like, so like, you know, to me, I wake up in the morning and I know I have coffee waiting for me.
Yes.
And then the next thing I get to look forward to is a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
If that's how I have to get through this, then that's how I'm going to be getting through this.
I'm not sure if it made the pod, but a couple of weeks ago, I think it did. I think Charlotte left it in, where I heard a big explosion. I thought it was a gunshot, and I made us like stop podcasting for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those mini Diet Coke cans in the back of my fridge that exploded because it froze.
That was so loud.
It was so loud. That's what it was. And so today, you know, I don't know if anybody else does this, but I'm so bad at this. I overpack my fridge and I forget what's in the back of the fridge because I've done a huge shopper. I've had a huge grocery delivery. And then I like only eat the things that are in the front of the fridge. And then this weekend I did a big clean, promising to myself that I would just get Amazon Fresh delivered more often. And I found this can of Diet Coke literally like splayed open, like someone took a knife and cut it in half and stomped on it.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy. Cool. Did it freeze in a really beautiful and visually pleasing pattern?
No, all the Coke was everywhere and it had melted at some point.
I do the same thing. I have this high shelf in my bathroom because my ceilings are really high. And so the shelves go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And so things just get like thrown up there and then continually pushed to the back. Mm-hmm. And so this weekend I climbed up there to try to find a light bulb and I found two full bottles of old hair conditioner that I never used because I thought I needed hair conditioner and would keep rebuying it. And now I'm using Hair Story, so I don't need hair conditioner. And I just have like wasted money, like wasted probably $12 worth of conditioner back there.
A while ago, I started doing this and I need to like go and update my lists because I too have very high closets in my apartment. And so like you need a ladder to get to the top of the inside of the closet. I started making lists and pasting them on the inside of the door as to what exactly was on the top shelves. So
that's a good idea.
So I like even because I would forget, you know, you forget what you have.
Yep. Yeah.
So crazy.
I'm trying to be more aware.
Yes.
And I want to be more organized. And I'm really disappointed because for Christmas, I asked for vintage locker baskets. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're like, they're wire square or rectangle baskets. And a lot of times they have kind of a vintage locker number on them. And they're beautiful, but they're also incredibly expensive because if you find them on eBay, they're, you know, $25, $30, but then shipping is $19, $25.
Oh, they're beautiful. I'm Googling them.
They're gorgeous.
The new ones from Pottery Barn Teen are even $59 themselves, so I can't imagine what the vintage ones cost.
And I want the vintage ones because I like the old vintage numbers, and, you know, I don't want, like, new everything. I don't need new everything. Mm-hmm. But even, like, Facebook Marketplace, they're just so expensive. And so I'm really bummed out, but I want those to help organize my closets because everything stays in them, but you can still see through them because they're just wire.
Okay. Speaking of vintage things in your home, can I blow your mind for a second?
I would love it. Please do.
I need you to Google Minwax. You know that brand? M-I-N-W-A-X. Minwax semi-transparent stain colors. So this summer, I don't know how it got by me, but Minwax released colored stains, Bethany, for wood. They have chartreuse. They have vintage blue. They have mint. If you can dream it, they make it. And so you stain your furniture a color, but you can still see the wood grain through it because it's a semi-transparent color.
I know. What? They have Island Water, which is like a teal. River Stone is very beautiful.
Yep.
Antique Red is like a hot pink.
Look at the chartreuse, Bethany. 1019 chartreuse, right next to Antique Jade. It's so beautiful.
Oh my God.
I know. So if you go on their Instagram, I believe it's just at Minwax USA. They put out like a piece of marketing that vintage blue is their color of the year. And I want to stain everything vintage blue.
This is not the time for renters. You're so lucky that you have your mom's place that you get to make over. I know it's a ton of work and it's taking up all your time.
Yeah.
But like, and my older sister just decorated their downstairs staircase.
Yeah. Oh, I saw. She did such a cool job with the wallpaper on the instep of the stair. So cool.
Yeah. So they took Target peel and stick wallpaper and put it on like the facing part of the stair and then painted the actual stairs this beautiful mustard color. And it's so pretty. I'm like, I just want a house that I can do things to, but I don't actually want a house that I have to, you know, pay money to maintain.
Because you and I were just having this conversation before we turned on our microphones, is that when you have a house, there are so many things to worry about, like cutting grass and the roof and getting new insulation and refinishing your floors. And it's like, that shit is just goddamn expensive.
And heaven forbid, like your water cooler, or not water cooler, your water
heater.
Explodes.
I know.
You have to pay for that. And it always happens in the middle of the night. It never happens at a convenient time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, your roof is on fire. You have to pay for that. and then, you know, you have an animal and a human living in a crawl space.
I know. I know.
Nothing good happens with houses.
Quote unquote, the American dream is owning your own home. But like, quote unquote, my American dream is having a comfortable condo where there's an HOA fee and I don't have to think about any other shit.
Yeah. I really like just being able to text one of my four landlords and being like, hey, there's a hole in my floor and can someone fix it? And then I just get to like skip away, you know, frolic while they figure it out themselves.
There's something I just want to talk about very quickly.
Sure.
First of all, actually a handful of things. First of all, Bethany, this week is our podcast birthday.
What birthday is it?
It is our fifth birthday. We launched this podcast in 2016.
Wow. So our podcast is the same age as my cat.
Yes.
As we record this, it's the 1st of March. Minerva turns, I guess, 5 today then.
Yeah. We launched this podcast just a handful of days before my 30th birthday.
Wow.
Which is, it's my birthday on Friday.
Yeah. It's your birthday week. And any big plans?
Just spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay, that's great.
And Korean cheesecake. Because Korean cheesecake is so much better than regular cheesecake. Have you ever had it?
No, what makes it Korean? Does it have amazing style and great skincare?
It's from the Korean bakery. But Korean cheesecake, unlike New York cheesecake, which is really dense and very sweet and heavy, Korean cheesecake is very light, less sweet. I requested Korean cheesecake for my birthday. But other than this podcast, Bethany, is there anything that you've done every week for 5 years?
I mean,
went to school, maybe.
Besides school. But even school got vacations and we haven't ever taken one.
It's so crazy. Anyway,
I don't think we've taken one.
Gentle listener, please rate, review, and subscribe to wherever you listen to this podcast. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. And Bethany, we have another big piece and actually 2 more big pieces of news. Do you want to take the brains on those?
Yes. So the first big piece of news is... we are launching a Patreon.
Patreon!
Did you just dab, Kathleen?
I think I did. And I...
what are you, a 2019 teenager?
Bethany, I don't know why I just did that, and I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my God.
So... Patreon.com/what? Acquired Taste Podcast?
Patreon slash, let me tell you right now. Patreon.
We're still figuring it out. There's going to be 2 different levels. We're still working it out. However.
No, we figured it out.
We did. Yes. Tell me the levels.
So it's patreon.com/acquired taste.
Great.
We have 2 levels. We have a $2 a month level, and that gets you into our inner Patreon circle. Plus, we'll put you on our close friends list on our Acquired Taste podcast Instagram Insta story list. And also, it's just $2 is just a way to support this pod. If you listen every week, we need a little bit of money to keep this, to keep the engine running. You know?
Especially if you're not able to purchase from our sponsors, anything like that, because we know money is tight. $2 a month is just a way to say like, hey, I see you. Thank you. And that helps kind of keep everything going.
Because there's this human in the basement who's shoveling coal into our furnace, and we need to up their salary.
Yeah, we need to pay for someone to yell at them.
Yeah. And then we have a $5 a month membership because we are launching a twice a month live show.
Yes.
A live streaming video
podcast/radio/video
show, and we can take callers
where
we get to see you guys. We did a fabulous test run this week
and it was great. It's called An Acquired Taste After Dark.
No, Acquired Taste by Moonlight.
Acquired Taste by Moonlight.
After Dark is the next level.
Sorry, that's the OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Our OnlyFans. Kathleen did some great artwork for it. We had a really fun time testing it out with a few of our inner circles. And so we're really excited. It's going to be twice monthly, not necessarily always at the same time. We may change it up, but twice a month. And it's going to be fun. It'll just be a chance for you to get to interact with each other and, you know, see each other's faces and whatever.
There's a running chat box on the software that we use. There's a running chat box where all the taste buds can chat during the show. And we take callers and we're like, hey, what's your favorite food? And then we look for answers on the side and we invite taste buds on screen with us. It's very cool.
When we tested out, we heard a very fun story from one of our gentle listeners who told us the story about how she chipped her tooth on a sex toy, not once, but twice, because this gentle listener does not learn her lesson. And she chipped it twice on the same sex toy and still has that sex toy.
Still has that, right before her wedding. Sylvia. Bravo.
I was going to keep her anonymous, but yeah, it was Sylvia.
Sylvia. Okay. Did you have a good weekend, Bethany?
Yeah, didn't do much. Watched a couple of episodes of Pretend It's a City, the Fran Lebowitz series, which is, she's just, if you ever need proof that being truly authentically yourself is the best way to be, just study Fran Lebowitz. She's so clever. She's clever and is just such a fun person to watch and interact with, I would imagine, because she's so authentically herself. And if you try to think of Fran Lebowitz trying to be someone else, it's a boring person. So
she's a great Jersey girl.
And she's just great. So I watched that. What did you do, Kathleen?
Watched Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. Did that pop up for you?
No. Which one is that?
It was like number 3 or number 4. It was excellent. It's a British limited series. Highly recommend. Everyone is talking about this other show, though, I haven't gotten a chance to see yet. Ginny and Georgia.
I've not even heard of it, Kathleen.
What? Don't you go to the Netflix top 10 and check it every weekend?
Never. I never do. I just scroll straight down where it's like, you like cozy British mysteries? You should watch this other show about bumbling old British people.
What?
And I go, see, that's, me too.
That's my favorite feature of Netflix. It's the top 10 in the U.S. streaming right now. And then it's like top 10 movies in the U.S. streaming right now.
Ginny and Georgia.
And I even had a friend text me about it last night. I have to get back to that friend and say thank you. But everyone's watching Ginny and Georgia. I can't believe you don't use this feature on Netflix. I think I love Hulu. I will take Hulu to the grave with me. They have some great programming. Their interface freaking sucks.
Is this a teen series?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Not for you.
They're under fire, apparently, because they made a Taylor Swift joke.
Oh no, really?
Swifties are furious at Ginny and Georgia for making a misogynistic joke about Taylor Swift. That's on your Cosmo.com, Kathleen. That's on your hard-hitting news site.
My Google Chrome won't let me visit Cosmo anymore because apparently I visited it too much. Like, I pay $2 a month to be able to visit Cosmo unlimited, and I can't for some reason. The 404 error pops up. All right. Shall we get into it, my friend?
Let's get into it. Let's talk about old wives' tales and dicks.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kathleen, there are many different world mysteries and truths about the human condition. And I think that you can agree that one of the largest ones is, why do people, specifically dudes, draw dicks on everything? When's the last time you saw a graffiti dick, Kathleen?
I have to tell you, because I do enjoy some good potty humor.
Yeah.
I love a good dick written on a car right after it snows. I love a good snow dick. I love a snow dick.
Yeah. Have you seen American Vandal?
I haven't, no.
You need to watch it. I think I've told you about it, but we've talked about it before. It's the sort of, it's making fun of true crime documentaries, and it's trying to figure out if this kid who got accused of drawing dicks everywhere is actually the kid who drew dicks everywhere. And the guy who plays the guy being accused of drawing the dicks is so good and so funny. And we all went to high school with a guy like him who just sort of like talks like this.
He's drastic.
So, it's so good.
Okay. Yes. Why do men? Why are they predisposed? Predisposed?
Disposed.
Disposed.
Yeah.
Disposed.
Predisposed.
Dick possessed. Why do they want to draw their genitalia everywhere? Women don't want to draw vajays.
That's the question. That's what okay. we're going to discuss today.
I'm excited.
So before we start, I want to share that this has always been this way. Humans have always been this way.
Dick obsessed.
So let's talk about old dicks.
Okay.
In 2010, an archaeologist working on the Greek island Astypalia discovered large dicks carved into the rocky peninsula, as well as an inscription that translates to Nikasitimos was here mounting Timiona.
Nikasitimos and Timimonia.
Timiona, both male names.
Okay.
These carvings were dated to the 5th and 6th centuries BC.
BC dicks.
BC dicks. And by the way, the archaeologists referred to them as triumphant inscriptions.
I mean, okay, so you know how humans have gotten larger over time?
I guess. Sure, yeah.
Like
better food, access to food.
Dicks have gotten, I mean, do you think it's a correlation? Dicks have gotten larger
probably.
Over time,
yeah. I think it's probably proportionate to like how the individual has grown. In this same area, by the way, he also found more carvings like lower down on the Cape. Carvings into limestone that named Dion and then had two penises. And the archaeologist said, quote, that would allude to similar behavior on the part of Dion. So all of these dudes are fucking and drawing penises in this part of Greece.
Well, you know, the Greeks and the Romans and that whole area, and I'm totally going to, I shouldn't even say this word. I'm going to mess this up. My time period is probably wrong. Mesopotamia?
Yeah, Mesopotamia.
They were just obsessed with their genitalia. They loved fucking, they loved big orgies. And so,
sure, who doesn't?
Like, maybe this is where it all stems from. You know how last episode you taught us that it's ingrained in us to jolt awake sometimes when we're sleeping because our ancestors would jolt awake so they didn't fall out of a tree?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe guys who are obsessed with their genitalia, like they just can't help it.
They can't. Well, we're going to dig into that.
Okay, let's dig.
Let's talk about some more old dicks.
Okay.
So in 2019, archaeologists from Newcastle University and Historic England uncovered sections of graffiti carved by Roman soldiers in the year 207.
That's a long time ago.
A long time ago. It was in a quarry near a section of Hadrian's Wall in Cumbria, England.
Okay.
So at that time, apparently, dicks were a symbol of good luck, which is a whole other thing we can unpack at another time. But they had found these dick inscriptions, not just here, but like on other parts of the wall too.
You said dick inscriptions?
Dick inscriptions everywhere. Dicks were found everywhere, meaning that like while these workers were supposed to be reinforcing this wall, some of them got so bored that they pulled out their chisels and straight up carved three-dimensional dicks into solid rock. Because these weren't just like scratched outlines. These were like, they had shading and they had roundness and girth.
They had gotten bigger by that time because they weren't BC. They were AC?
No, these were BC.
Okay, they're still BC.
No, these were, you're right, these were
AC, DC.
Or BCE and CE.
Is that what it is? The after is BCE?
No, BCE is before, I think before the common era, before the current era. So that's what would be BC, before Christ. And then AD is now
AD.
CE.
That's right.
Which is current, or I remember if it's current or common era.
Gotcha.
And by the way, because erosion is such a problem, archaeologists plan to use laser scanning to record all of the details of these walls. So now there will be 3D renderings of these dick inscriptions or dickscriptions for future generations to appreciate.
I hope they put the dicks in a dick museum.
So you really like dick drawings?
No, I just think they're funny because I have the same humor level as a 12-year-old boy. Like I love a good fart joke. Love a good fart joke.
Yeah.
Love a good dick joke.
Yeah.
In the right setting. Like, I don't want a dick joke at work from a man who's older than I am telling me things that I don't want to know, you know? But like,
yeah, that's fair. So you want it from like a peer.
Like, if you were to call me up and be like, Kathleen, I've got a really, really juicy dick joke for you.
Ugh.
I would appreciate it coming from you.
I'm sorry I'm failing you as a friend in that regard. I seldom call you up with a dick
it's
joke.
It's totally fine. I don't expect I don't expect it from you, but I appreciate it. So
okay. Thank you. Let's talk about new dicks.
Oh, okay.
So the movie Superbad obviously ushered in a new awareness of the dick drawing.
Did it?
Yeah, there's a whole what's his name was like obsessed with drawing dicks and like had found an art form in dick drawing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. In 2017, a naval officer drew a dick while skywriting. The Navy had to apologize for that because what are you supposed to be doing? Not drawing dicks while skywriting. There's an Instagram account called Dick Latte, which shows pictures of dicks drawn into the crema of lattes.
Love that. I follow Dick Latte. It's one of my favorites. And the girls in my book club, whenever I take screenshots from that account and send it to them, nobody's quite as enthused as I am. And I'm like,
yeah,
hello, this is funny.
I think it's the wrong audience.
It's a little dick in a latte wearing a Santa hat. It's funny.
They're artists. They're like sandwich artists, but for crema. There's a website called Send Your Friend a Penis Drawing, and under the FAQ section, a question asks, is this a good present for a girl? And true to people who would draw dicks, the response is, excellent. It certainly is. Girls always like to know they're special, and this is something very special. Friend, mother, grandmother, or special lady in your life is sure to be impressed with your thoughtfulness and providing her with a splendid gift.
Very special.
The company Penist will turn your enemy's logo into a dick.
Your enemy's logo?
Right, which is sort of strange because let's say you have a company where you help people resell old things.
Yeah.
And you want to take eBay, a competitor, you want to take their logo and turn it into a dick. This company will help you do that. However, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it sort of intimates that the penis is an insult. Does it not?
It's one of those words. You know, the symbol of a dick is sort of also like the word fuck, where you're like, fuck, where you're mad about something, but something good happens, you're like, fuck, yeah. Like, it can mean anything. And I think that the symbol of the dick is sort of the same way. But I don't get why you would want to turn your enemy's logo. And this is strictly, I guess, like a business enemy because your best friend doesn't have a logo.
And it's not like you're insulting another Scottish clan, you know, who has like a coat of arms or something.
You know, I always think it's, you know, we all have that friend that's like, oh, do you know what your family crest is? And I'm like, yeah. Fuck no. My family's been in this country since the 1800s. We don't know what a crest is. Like, get the hell out of here. You know, we always have that friend's like, oh, this is my family crest. It's like displayed when you walk in the door. Imagine if you took a picture of their crest, turned it into a dick.
I feel very blasted because I do have my family crests posted on my wall. However, them up ever since. You haven't seen them, so...
Of course you do.
I feel attacked.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, that's fine. No, you're totally right. Okay. More current dicks.
Yeah, current dicks.
Let's talk about video games.
Okay.
Players have carved, etched, and built dicks into video games like Curiosity, SimCity, Minecraft, which is 45 blocks long, 27 blocks high, 13 blocks wide if you want to make a Minecraft dick. Call of Duty, Little Big Planet, Trials Evolution, Mod Nation Racers, Halo Reach, Garry's Mod, which features a penis car you can race in, plus a penis bike in Grand Theft Auto 4. A YouTuber named Daku Neko, whose Skype profile says he lives in Fuckville, replaced Sonic the Hedgehog with a big peach penis. And when reached for comment as to why he did this, he simply replied, because I'm batshit insane, which indicates an inability or lack of desire to dig into the deeper recesses of his psyche and motivations.
You know, and it's also Disney illustrators putting dicks on the cover of like the Little Mermaid thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Dicks, dicks, dicks.
Why is this?
It's fascinating. And it makes total sense. It makes total sense.
Bethany, I know that you like want to make this topic quick today because it's making you uncomfortable.
No. That's not why. I just know that like.
But I could literally talk about this forever. Dick symbolism.
I'm fascinating that you think, because I find drawings of dicks just annoying, and I think it reflects poorly on the person who drew it. And you like it. If you had a crush on a dude and he drew a dick on your locker, would you think highly of him?
That's different. But if I liked a dude that was like trying to get my attention in class, and he drew a little note with a little dick in it, and it's like, my dick loves you.
That would work for you?
Bethany, it's so funny. It's so funny.
Wow. Okay.
I mean.
You know what? We all have our own thing, Kathleen, and that is your thing, and I respect it.
It's not my thing. It's not my I'm not going to get a cookie jar in the shape of a dick and start, like, wallpapering my kitchen with dick accoutrements, okay? Like,
I'm trying to remember. At your bachelorette party, did you wear a penis hat, penis crown?
No, fuck no.
Yeah,
no, okay. I didn't. But now at this age in my life where I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to like what I like.
Yeah.
I would think back then I was too like, oh, I can't like that stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Now I wouldn't wear a dick, but I would appreciate a dick cake. I think that's pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, to like cut into a big funfetti cake shaped like a dick.
Now, would you appreciate a vagina cake as much?
No. I mean, like, what is a vagina cake shaped like? Then you got to get into layers, and it's like, you need a complicated cake pan.
Like the inner labia, like the labia the labia minora is like a ganache, but the labia majora is more of like a whipped cream cheese frosting.
Well, it's, you know, okay, have you ever thought about purchasing those fancy like bundt cake pans at Thanksgiving time where you put the batter into this fancy pan and then when you flip it over and bake it, there's like all of these like pumpkin shapes and fall leaves and stuff?
Fun. Yeah, I think I have one. I think I have a loaf pan that has figs or something on it.
A fancy loaf pan.
Actually, I have it right here. I'm using it to hold my sunglasses. No, here it is.
See, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? Vagina cakes would work like that.
Yes, totally.
If we had a mold.
Yeah, you need a mold. You're right. You're right. And that is part of it, is that it is easier to draw a dick than it is to draw a vagina.
Yeah, phallic.
Yeah. So there is one really funny thing. There was a video game called Drawn to Life, and it had a flash contest where you could use the same drawing tool that's in the DS game to make a hero character, and you submitted it, and there was paperwork you had to fill out and everything. The winner would be included in the final game as a template you could choose from. So whoever won that character, that your character would be included in the game.
Okay.
1/3 of the submissions were dicks. So not only did 1/3 of the people who contributed to this contest, who entered this contest, draw dicks.
Yeah.
They also had to fill out a form and officially submit the work. So it's not like they just drew the dick, giggled, and then moved on or closed the window. And they filled out the form and submitted the dick.
Submit the dick.
Submit the dick. 1/3 of people.
You know, that would be like a really good Instagram account. I wonder if that's taken. Submit the dick.
I'm sure it's not. I bet you can do it.
Or Bethany, a podcast where people just totally rip on their ex-partners.
Submit the dick?
Submit the dick.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
I think you and I just became millionaires.
Ooh, good idea. One more thing about video games. The late game designer Jeff Freeman coined a phrase that measured how long it takes players to use player-created content tools to create a penis. The phrase is, quote, time to cock, and it is measured in microseconds. That is how quickly people in a new game figure out how to make a penis in the game. So this is a thing. So
have you ever seen that girl that runs, and it's an Instagram account, and everywhere she runs in the shape of a dick?
What? What do you do on Instagram? What is your algorithm? Mine is cats.
This is why I have a Finsta, because all of this disgusting, totally childish shit that I follow, I cannot follow it on my real Instagram, because I don't want to like be in a board meeting and be like, oh, let me show you an example of things that I've seen on Instagram, and then like, you know, run the dick pops for dick latte.
You are really one of the most layered and nuanced people. I know, because you do present as like
a proper lady.
A proper lady. Yeah. You dress beautifully. Thank you're you. Pulled together. Your makeup was always snatched. And then you're just like, and also dicks.
And poop and farts.
And poop. Yeah.
Dicks and poops and farts and dicks and poops and farts.
So I texted our editor, Charlotte, this morning, because Charlotte, when she edits our episodes, she usually writes us back these emails with very thoughtful responses.
Yes.
And she digs into the psychology of things and is like, did you know about this ancient Greek, you know, celebration of whatever the thing you were talking
That's
about?
That's because she went to Brown.
She's very smart.
Very much smarter than we are.
So I texted her this morning and I said, hey, I'm talking about dicks. Do you have any thoughts? And she was like, I have so many thoughts.
Yeah, you know, Charlotte is probably like a scholar in terms of dick history.
Yeah. And also her mother collects erotica, like statues. She has like a walk-in closet filled with erotica and erotic statues. And I'm just picturing a garden filled with penises because it spilled out onto the garden.
You know, Charlotte, can you please go back to California to see your parents? I need photos of this closet. Yeah.
Or ask for your mom to send you some dick pics, but not, you know, but like those specific kind. So Charlotte was talking about Freud, which is where a lot of dicks come into play. And For Freud, the penis is the symbol of participation and power in society. And so the idea of penis envy is really about envying someone's position and their power. That's Freud. But Freud sees penises everywhere.
You know, speaking of erotica, you see this painting behind me on my wall?
Ooh, show me. Yeah, I see it.
It's the image of a naked woman. Do you see? She's laying on her side.
Oh, I love that. Where'd you get that?
I got it on Everything But The House, EBTH.com.
Ooh.
But let me tell you, you know how you and I are always talking about how we love the female form?
Yes.
We're attracted to the female form. We think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the same thing as men being obsessed with the shape and look of their dicks.
I don't think it is. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why.
I thought I was a psychologist.
I mean, it's possible. It's very possible. I think it's less about that because it doesn't seem like it's done with a sense of like thoughtful appreciation. It usually seems like it's scrawled onto something quickly. Mm-hmm. There doesn't appear to be a lot of willingness to go into self-reflection. I'm going to say by and large, I'm generalizing and saying that mostly dudes are the ones drawing dicks. Not always the case, but like generalizing.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of willingness to like reflect on why guys do this at first. I went on Reddit, which is not like a big bastion of self-reflection, but someone asked a question 4 years ago, guys that draw dicks on stuff, why do you do it? And the answer that was archived as best was simply, because them dicks ain't going to draw themselves, bro.
God, I love Reddit. Reddit is what a
But a bunch of other users said, because we were young and confused with no outlet to express our youthful rage, so dicks. Mm. Because it's funny, it's the simplest obscene thing. Someone said, look, it's either we draw the dick or we piss on it. It's about territory, and I don't want my territory to smell like a urinal. That's why I draw a dick.
Interesting.
And going into the actual psychology of it, there appears to be healthy reasons to draw dicks and less healthy reasons to draw dicks.
Healthy reasons to draw dicks? Okay.
Why would, let's say, a boy draw a dick, like a younger boy? What would a healthy reason to draw a dick be?
Well, he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
And then maybe because he's going through that age where sexuality is something that he's thinking about.
There you go. Yes. So some psychologists think that it's about curiosity. It's about figuring out how this thing attached to you that you can see is important because it's on your body and it's like out there. Mm-hmm. You draw it because you're getting used to it. You're learning about it. And a designer named Michael Yardley said in a Vice.com article that boys might draw dicks when they're young to get a grasp on their changing bodies. He said, you draw dicks from experience. And really the only experience you have is your own penis. So if you draw your own penis and someone is like, ew, why is it shaped like that? You know there's something wrong with your own penis and you go to a doctor. Like it helps you figure out what's normal and what's not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Right? Like, so it's kind of interesting. It's less aggressive.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, you know, when I was young, I would draw people having sex, but I didn't know what sex was. And so I just drew a penis proboscis going towards a woman's abdomen. And I knew that was about right, but I didn't quite know, you know, whatever.
I wonder how many creatures out there have penis proboscises.
I know that monkeys have penis bones.
What?
I think it's because you have to mate on the quick because you might be mating with a monkey where there's like a stronger male monkey nearby. And so you want to mate as fast as you can before the male the stronger male comes back. And so you don't have time to get aroused. And so you just have a bone in your penis that's always there and hard and you can like fuck and then run.
Oh, that's why maybe when I was at the zoo, those monkeys were just sitting with their dicks resting on rocks because it's got to be hard all the time because you got to fuck and run.
Yeah, I don't know which type of monkey has a penis bone. I know at least one type of monkey has a penis bone.
Well, I just Googled monkey penis bone and a lot of bones came up and they're big bones.
Sure.
Some of them are curved bones.
All right. Ow. Okay. So here's some other thoughts. One thought is that drawing penises is like you flexing your power. Mm-hmm. So a psychoanalyst named Vanessa Sinclair said, the people who are drawing penises over and over again are trying to assert that they have power, that they have a penis and they do not lack, that they're not vulnerable. She said, it's the same classic example of older men who buy a sports car or motorcycle when their physical health and strength begin to decline.
Oh, and also mm-hmm. when you see someone pass out at a party with a, dick, on their face, it's yeah. because that person is vulnerable and the person yes. who drew the dick on their face is not vulnerable.
Yes, Kathleen, exactly. It's a show of power.
I deserve a degree after this.
Your insights are pretty on. An article for Kotaku.com, there is a biopsychologist named Nigel Barber.
Yeah.
And Nigel said, in most societies, male genitals are covered. So even if people wear no other clothes, often the genitals are covered. And so the implication there is that genital display is potentially rude or offensive. And so drawing a penis on something is your way to be dangerous, is your way to break a rule because society deems penises to be something you want to cover up.
Provocative.
It's your way to be provocative.
Oh.
In a time where maybe you feel powerless.
Yeah.
Like when you're a teenager, you don't have a lot of your own power. Your parents are in charge. Your teachers are in charge. But you can draw a dick on a wall or you can draw a dick on your table. And that's your way of like lashing out and showing that you do have some power.
I mean, when you really think about it, what's the point of a loincloth anyway?
I mean, yeah. Doesn't support.
Doesn't support.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cover really anything up.
Yep.
There's still a lot of flapping in the wind going on. And it's not really secured to the body other than by just like a little garter belt.
Yeah, it's true. There's not a lot going on there. And then this is interesting.
I'm still thinking about that loincloth.
You want to bring him back?
Not that I want to bring him back. It's like, what the point? What's the point? I mean, just, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's not protecting anything unless it's made of like a hard something or other.
Okay.
Jesse Baring, who wrote a book called Why is the Penis Shaped Like That? What's the book about? Said that if you want to get a bit Freudian about it, it might be a way of making public what you're not allowed to show in public otherwise. So it's like a symbolic unzipping, which may bring some catharsis.
Yeah.
It's like exhibitionism without having to be an exhibitionist. It's like showing your penis without having to actually show your penis.
Like, I am the opposite of an exhibitionist. Like, the opposite. Have you ever had a burst of exhibitionism that was as good as doing drugs? Like, it just felt so good.
Like
I went skinny dipping in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Right after I graduated from high school. And I had never done anything like that before. And I still remember that high that I got from just in that moment being like, fuck it.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Yeah. Skinny dipping is a really unique experience because it's so transgressive in theory. You're naked, especially if you're doing it with other people.
Yeah.
You're naked with a bunch of other people. And in any other context, this would be sexual. Mm-hmm. Or illegal.
Yes.
But you're in water and you're protected, but you're so exposed at the same time.
Sometimes it just feels good. And I wonder if people who are like addicted to exhibitionism, I wonder if they're addicted to that like adrenaline high.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And again, that feeling of being transgressive, I'm breaking some pretty solid societal rules here. So one more thing, a woman named Melanie Hamlet wrote an article for Glamour.com pretty quickly after the Navy drawing dicks in the air thing happened.
Yeah.
And she pointed out kind of what you were saying, Kathleen, that if drawing penises was just about sex, then you'd also see boobs and butts and vaginas all over the place, but you don't.
Yeah.
So she posits that drawing penises is about dominance and maybe even neediness. She says these are entitled, she calls them boy men, entitled boy men trying to force women to acknowledge their all-important penises, whether we care to or not.
Yeah.
She said, now, before you go assuming I'm a prude, I assure you I'm not, far from it. I adore a good penis. She goes on, though, but I've been assaulted by my fair share of them, too, which, like a lot of other women, makes my relationship to them complicated because I've been forced to look at one too many against my will, whether it be on a subway platform, on a bus, on a park bench. And then she goes into different ways she's been assaulted, literally. She said, I've had countless boners shoved into my back while I'm trying to dance and more. So she said, I'm realizing now that even a stupid penis drawing is male anatomy being forced into my world. So it is aggressive.
Yeah.
And it seems like even if you are someone who doesn't realize why you're drawing dicks everywhere, it's your way, I think, in my opinion, of trying to assert your dominance and trying to show that you're powerful. when maybe yes. you don't feel quite so powerful in the world.
Yes. You know, Bethany, you've just armed everybody listening to this podcast with the power to say to someone who thinks that they're being really funny by inappropriately drawing dicks in certain places, you have just armed everyone with the power to be like, well, I understand that you feel not that powerful and you're insecure and that's why you're drawing dicks, but I'm a friend and I'm here for you. So let's sit down and talk about your insecurities.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're drawing dicks among friends, great. Draw dicks yeah. among friends. Dicks among but friends, like not yeah. everyone wants to see a dick. So I'm going to end it with this amazing post. I think it was on Tumblr. I found it on Reddit. The original post is from Tony Stark24 and it's a picture. I'm guessing it's a high school student, and it's a picture from the back of the classroom of a teacher holding up a plastic chair which has a dick drawn on it. And you can see she's mid-lecture.
Yeah.
And here is what the caption is under the picture from Tony Stark 24. My AP psych teacher from high school keeps binders and notebooks with dicks drawn on them to use as visual aids for the Freudian unit. One time she did this life-changing little experiment where she ever so calmly asked guys why they draw penises on things. They tried to say, it's just funny, or you don't understand. And she just kept saying, you're right, I don't understand. Explain it to me. You already know what a penis looks like. Why do you have to draw it on things? Are you marking it? Are you tagging it? Girls don't draw vaginas on things. And the guys suddenly started questioning their motives for everything they do. And one guy was like, Miss, stop talking about penises. You're making me uncomfortable. And she shouted, how do you think we feel seeing dicks drawn on stuff all the time?
Amazing.
And that is why people draw dicks on things.
Bravo, Bethany. Bravo.
Thanks, man.
Drop the dick mic.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bethany.
Yes.
Today we're going to play a very exciting game of true or false with old wives' tales.
Oh, these are great. Okay, good.
So last week you really got me thinking. You were talking about exploding head syndrome and I was like, well, you know, there's this fun fact that we only use a certain low percentage of our brains.
Right, right.
And you were like, not true.
Yeah, it's a common misconception that we hear it over and over, so why wouldn't you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up believing that humans only used something like 10% of their brains, and if we could just use all of the percentage of our brains, we would be super geniuses.
I had always learned that you could teleport and lift, you know, like telekinesis would be possible if we used all of our brains, because we would be so powerful. Yeah.
And you know, I've been thinking about this, too. Why is it an old wives' tale? Because I believe a lot of these, and I'm a young wife.
I know. I think it's like all of the, you know, dotty old women talking to each other while the men are tilling the fields. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Number one, Bethany, true or false? Peeing on a jellyfish sting alleviates the pain.
I've always heard that's true.
Not true.
Not true. So people have just been peeing on each other's like open wounds for naught?
I will list all of my sources, but this one comes specifically from thehealthy.com. I also used One Good Thing by Jilly.com, and then I used bustle.com. Okay, so jellyfish stings result from millions of stinging cells on a jellyfish's tentacle injecting venom into your skin.
Sure.
So after getting stung by a jellyfish, rather than heading straight to the bathroom or commissioning a brave friend to take a piss on your leg.
Yeah.
Excuse my French. This is how you can get rid of a jellyfish sting. Remove the tentacles with something other than your fingers to prevent further stinging. Use seawater to rinse the area, not fresh water, because fresh water activates the stingers to release more venom.
Oh.
And then use a flat object to scrape off the stinging cells or gloves or tweezers if you have them. And then when you're done with all of that, you rinse the area with hot water and then take a hot shower to ease the pain.
It seems counterintuitive to use the ocean water because it has salt in it. You think that would hurt.
Yeah, but that's what jellyfish cells are used to.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So don't have a friend pee on your leg. It's not going
to
work.
Oh, man. Okay, good. Good to know. Thank you very much.
Here is another water-related old wives' tale. You cannot swim after eating or you may drown.
Yeah, you'll get a cramp and you won't be able to swim no more.
Not true. When I was a little kid, it was like, okay, well, we're going to have pizza now, so we shouldn't go back. And we would literally like ask someone to time it.
Yeah, you do the math.
Yeah, when we could go back into the pool. People used to believe this because they thought that the body would take away blood from your limbs to send it to the digestive area so you could digest the food that you just ate. And while this is true, it doesn't deplete the limbs of enough blood to stop them from being able to hold you up when you're swimming.
That, you know, I wonder how many of these are invented by parents who just are sick of watching their kids for a second. And like, yes, they just ate. They want to be able to just eat in peace. Can you all just sit here for 20 minutes and let us enjoy our pizza?
Yes.
So we don't have to watch you.
This one I actually didn't know, but it's crazy interesting. True or false, eating cheese can give you vivid dreams.
Wait, so
have you ever heard this?
Are all of these false because they're old wives' tales?
No.
Oh, some of them are true. I've never heard that one. And as an avid cheese eater, I don't think it's true.
It is true.
It is true?
Eating cheese right before bed can give you vivid dreams. I've never heard this old wives' tale, but it came up when I was doing my research. In 2005, the British Cheese Board performed an informal study where they asked volunteers to eat a small amount of cheese before bed every night and then keep a journal of the type of cheese that they ate, how well they slept, and the content of the dreams that they had while sleeping.
I wonder, how did they get this idea? Did enough people report weird dreams post-cheese that they were like, we're going to put money into this?
Because it was an old wives' tale.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, okay.
So, the results not only indicated that cheese consumption led to restful sleep, but it also often led to dreams that varied based on the type of cheese that the person had consumed.
Do we know which the most vivid type of dreaming cheese is?
Yeah, we sure do. Blue cheese.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's sort of rotten.
Yeah, people who ate blue cheese reported the most vivid and outlandish dreams. And those who ate cheddar had dreams about celebrities. And those who ate red Leicester, which apparently is a British cheddar-like cheese, but milder and more crumbly, they experienced nostalgic dreams.
This is amazing.
Maybe we haven't heard of this one because it's a British old wives' tale.
Maybe. I bet you're right. I bet it is. I want to test it out. I'm going to get some blue cheese today. Note to self, blue cheese today.
There's nothing I love more. Half a head of lettuce with just blue cheese poured all over that baby.
When they're like, we're making you a wedge salad, yeah, and really it's just how it's like a head of lettuce, and then that's
so
delicious,
good.
And I will eat it, and I will accept it as a salad.
Coffee stunts your growth, true or false?
I've heard that my whole life.
False.
Ah.
Even though you may have heard that while you're trying to get a sip of your parents' coffee will not affect children's growth patterns. Furthermore, limited coffee consumption actually is linked to the reduction of certain types of diseases like diabetes, type 2, heart rhythms, and cancers and strokes and others.
Start your kids young. I think my mom started drinking coffee at 11.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it didn't stunt her growth. Your mom, your mom's not
She's tiny, but, yeah, she's, you know, who knows?
Yeah. How old were you when you started drinking coffee?
I didn't start drinking coffee until I was in radio.
Really?
So like 20, my early 20s.
So you didn't even drink it in college?
I don't think so. I didn't.
Wow.
No, I don't think so. I didn't enter the wonders that are coffee until I really needed to.
I think I started drinking at the end of college.
It was so cool. Coffee is so cool.
You and I had this discussion the other day. Like, how many cups do you actually drink a day? Because the physician's assistant chided me before the doctor came in when he was like getting my medical history.
You know what? I'm sick of being chided. People chiding me all the time. I don't like it. I don't like it when people ask me how many cups of coffee I've had, because usually they mean literal cup and not mug.
Yeah.
And if it's literal cup.
Mugs are two cups.
Well, I have a mug that's like three, but it's one. When I write it down in my food journal, one cup of coffee.
I'm drinking like six cups of coffee a day. It's not good.
I'm about six too. It's fine.
Maybe four, five. So anyway, can't stunt your growth. You're tall. You like coffee. I'm short. I like coffee. Whatever. So when people are pregnant, pregnancy sparks lots of old wives' tales.
Yes, it does. I've recently been around a couple of pregnant women, and the things that are being said to them about like carrying high, carrying yes. low, different types of sickness
yes.
is telling you what sex you're having of a baby.
So they say if you're carrying high, it's a girl.
Okay.
If you're carrying low, it's a boy.
Okay.
True or false, Bethany?
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. But I don't know if it's actually true or not.
It's false.
It's false. Okay.
It's false. And I'll tell you why. Adina Holland Keller, MD, she's Associate Chief OB at Northern Westchester Hospital and a private practitioner in Mount Kisco, New York. She says that when a woman is pregnant, you cannot tell the sex of the baby based on how she is carrying the baby. If a woman looks like she is carrying high or low, it is entirely based on the size and position of the baby and the shape of her pelvis.
It makes sense because I feel like, you know, if you have a very short torso, mm-hmm. it's you're visibly going to probably be carrying quote unquote high because there's yes. not a lot of room for it to go low. You know,
exactly.
whereas if you have a long torso, it's going to look lower, I think.
I have a friend with a long torso who had three children. She carried low the whole time and they were all girls.
Yeah, it's and I also feel badly for women who are maybe hoping for one sex.
Yeah.
And then everyone's telling them like, you're going to have a girl, and maybe they want a girl. And so they get their hopes up because they're carrying high.
And then it's a boy.
You know, and then it's, you know, which is fine. But like, if you have your hopes up for a certain type of baby.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly want a girl more than anything in my life when I have a child. And I would be heartbroken. But I'm not the type of person that's going to wait to find out. I couldn't live with that kind of uncertainty.
Yeah. You need to be able to plan. You're a planner.
I want to do the nursery in shades of coral.
Are you going to do a gender reveal party?
Oh, no. I mean,
okay.
Not one where I have like cannons going off with pink or blue dust going into the air. First of all, I don't believe in gender like that.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, because your baby might be born with female sex organs and
yes.
your baby's like grows up to be a boy, whatever. It's like not yeah. necessarily written in stone.
Exactly. Yeah. I have attended those before. Not my favorite things to attend.
You know how I feel about them. A man just died from the father. Just died not too long ago. There was a gender reveal party. Dad was putting it. I'm doing this from memory from a podcast yeah. I heard. But dad was loading the fireworks or the rocket that was going to have the sex color in it. And
yeah.
it like went off in his face and he died from what I remember. And then someone started a whole California wildfire from a gender reveal party.
Oh my
so let's
God.
Maybe just like cut into a cake.
Let's eliminate rockets entirely. Entirely. But yeah. here's something about pregnancy that is true. The longer the labor does mean a boy. So if you don't know what the sex of the baby is, the longer you're in labor, the more likely it is to be a boy.
How? Why is that the case?
A study of 8,000 births found a direct correlation between the sex of the baby and the length of the labor. Apparently, the reason is that boys, while they're not necessarily bigger, they often have larger heads than girls, meaning that they're more likely to require help or they get stuck during delivery, thus a longer delivery.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh, I didn't know that. Look at that new information.
Next one, true or false? If you're going to be outside in an area where there are bees, don't wear yellow or you'll get stung.
True.
False.
What?
False. Like, I have outskirts of hearing this old wives tale before. If you're wearing a yellow shirt at the park and the bees are seemingly attracted to you and you curse yourself for not wearing the blue shirt, it is all just a myth. According to the New York Botanical Garden, bees perceive color differently than humans, making them able to recognize colors on the lighter end of the spectrum, like yellow or green. And on the other hand, all dark colors bees just see as black because they have limited eyesight. Yes, while bees are more likely attracted to lightly colored flowers, they'll gravitate towards light clothing. It's not specifically yellow that bees are attracted to.
So if you're smart and black is your summer color, you're golden.
Yep. You're golden, my friend.
Because bees aren't going to be coming towards you and thinking you're a flower and shoving their... They're shoving their, what do they have, a proboscis?
No.
I don't know. Nope. They don't want to lap up your honey.
Eating chicken soup when you're sick actually makes you better.
True.
Yep, sort of true. Chicken soup may be more than just comforting when you're feeling lousy. Over the years, several researchers have attempted to study the effects of chicken soup on those who are sick with respiratory infections. And according to reports, homemade chicken soup can indeed help reduce inflammation, which is responsible for many of the unpleasant symptoms associated with respiratory infections. Researchers also agreed that the social benefits of having a loved one willing to make you soup helps you get better as well.
So nice. Can I tell you one of the nicest things my younger sister ever did for me?
Yeah.
When I was very sick, just the two of us were home alone for some reason. And I think I was probably in upper elementary school and my younger sister was like 5. And maybe a little older, but I had the flu. I had chills and body aches and I was so cold. And so my little sister in her youth made a grilled cheese sandwich and put it on the plate so the plate warmed up and then put the plate on my chest so it helped warm me up. And like she was so young and that's so clever and smart and caring. And it was the first time my younger sister became like a caretaker to me, her older sister. And it's like one of the sweetest I'm sick stories that I have ever experienced. It was so thoughtful. Just this like little, and she was also very just like serious as a kid. And so this serious little girl bringing over a hot plate with a grilled cheese sandwich on it and putting it on my chest so that I would warm up. It was just, I cry whenever I need to cry. It's so sweet.
That is the most heartwarming story ever.
I know. It's pretty great. She's great.
If you ever write a movie script with little kids in it, you have to include that detail.
So cute. It's so cute. Like picture a little in Little Miss Sunshine. Have you seen Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah.
You know how serious Abigail Breslin is when she's doing her routine? Like she's really focused and trying so hard.
Yeah.
That's what my sister, that was the expression my sister had on her face. Oh, so cute. Sorry. I didn't mean to like veer off.
I love that story.
It's really sweet.
Have you ever heard that putting an onion on an insect bite or insect sting will take the sting away?
I have heard that. Is it true?
It's true.
What? Why? How does that make sense?
Apparently, there's something in the onion, some enzymes in the onion that can break down irritating toxins left behind by the insect, and it can help reduce pain and swelling.
It's crazy to me who decided, let's give this a shot, is the thing.
Old wives.
Old wives. Well, I got an onion. Let's put it on it.
Okay. We've all heard of this one. The 5-second rule.
5-second rule.
True or false?
It's true. If it's not a wet food, you're fine.
Bethany, it's false.
I know, but it's true in my heart.
If you've ever let a snack slip from your fingers, you probably have thought, ooh, 5-second rule. This doesn't apply because scientists have studied this, and no matter how long that food is on the floor, it still gets germs on it. But here's an interesting fact about this. Watermelon picked up the most germs and gummy candy picked up the fewest.
Gummy candy?
Gummy candy picked up the fewest.
You would think gummy candy would pick up a lot because it's gummy.
Well, I'm wondering what type of, because not all gummies are created equal.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what type of gummy candy they did this study with, because some gummies are really sticky and therefore that's picking up like every little hair.
Yeah.
But some gummies have that sort of very smooth texture on the outside, so they're really sticky. Mm.
I wonder if anyone actually believes the 5-second rule is real. Like I know I always assumed everyone understood that the food has germs, but you say 5-second rule as kind of a wink that we all know there's germs, but I'm still going to eat it. Like, I know it's against the rules, right? Like, I know this is disgusting, but 5-second rule, I'm still going to do it. And we all agree I'm doing it because it's funny, right? I always assumed it was that.
In Grey's Anatomy, once they dropped a kidney, and they were like, 5-second rule, and they put it in the person's body.
Did the person die from sepsis?
Nope, the person did not die.
Shonda Rhimes.
It's a lot of liberties.
Feels wrong.
Okay. I did learn through a tributary of research about the 5-second rule is that if you have a picnic, you should never bring melon, even though watermelon and cantaloupe are picnic favorites, because they grow bacteria outside of refrigerated conditions faster than any other food.
Oh. All right. Well, that's a great excuse if you don't like melon.
If you don't like melon.
Yeah.
It takes 7 years to digest a piece of gum.
False. So false.
So false. Your body will pass it in just a regular amount of time.
I'm an active gum swallower. I've swallowed gum my whole life. It's just food.
Bethany.
It's just food like anything else.
Bethany.
What? You now know for a fact that it doesn't stay in your body. Why are you so scandalized? You're literally clutching your pearls. If you had pearls, you'd be clutching them.
I'm trying not to throw up because I'm thinking.
Talk through. Use your words. You got this. Breathe through it.
Where's my water?
What is wrong? It's just gum. Okay. Are you serious?
I got Beth.
Kathleen.
Bethany, there's something about you swallowing your gum. It makes me want to vomit.
I've swallowed so much gum. I've probably swallowed the chewiest, stringiest,
Bethany,
stickiest.
Bethany, please don't say that. Bethany.
Just wads and wads of gum. Going wads. You know what? And sometimes it gets a little stuck, but then I just swallow it down.
I have to go. Bethany.
Large chunks of gum. She's gone. Kathleen? Please hold while we get Kathleen back.
You have to stop swallowing your gum.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
One time I swallowed seven pieces of juicy, sticky gum at the same time, and it all went down in just like a glug, glug. And I just had to like get it past that point in your throat, and then it all goes down.
Bethany.
Why does that gross you out so much?
But I don't know. I don't know. But I'm I don't like swallowing pills, and just the thought, I have a tough time swallowing pills, and then the thought of you like actively and purposely swallowing your gum like some sort of gum demon. I don't.
You know Fruit by the Foot? It's like 6 feet of fruity fun for you.
Are you swallowing that all by yourself?
6 feet. I can swallow 6 feet of gum at once. Just like chew, 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 swallow, swallow, swallow.
I would love to see you swallow Fruit by the Foot and not even chew on it once. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Not true.
Never apologize for a gag reflex.
Miss Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Can I ask you about stuffed animals?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of emails and phone calls, and I feel really validated. Ask me away.
Okay. So Bethany did this topic a couple of podcasts ago, not a full topic, just in section one, I believe, where you didn't want to throw away the stuffed animals that you didn't want to keep anymore because you believed that they had souls.
Yeah.
I laughed in your face like a terrible friend.
You laughed so hard and you were like, just throw them away.
Just throw them away.
Put them in a garbage bag and throw them away without a second thought.
And then as soon as we published that episode, we were inundated with voicemails and emails, people agreeing with you that stuffed animals have souls.
Absolutely.
They can't get rid of them. One taste bud said she can't walk into a store and touch a stuffed animal unless she's definitely going to buy it because then she gets the stuffed animal's hopes up and it thinks that it's going to a home and then you don't buy it and then the stuffed animal is sad.
I do the same thing. So if I touch it and I'm not going to buy it, I will like put my hands and rub behind its ears and I'll kiss it on its nose and say, it's going to be okay. And I give it a little message so it doesn't feel like I'm just like teasing it and walking away. I have to have closure with it before I can walk away.
Then you've kissed a toy that in public that other people have touched.
Yeah, absolutely. I sure have because the animal needs it. It's really hard. And the tough thing too is several people reached out and said you can donate stuffed animals to animal shelters because the animals can use them. Every shelter I've reached out to is closed because of Corona. And like anyone that's near me that I can get to is closed. And I can ship them, but I'm also shipping cat food that my cats won't eat anymore. And it's pallets and pallets of cat food. So it's so expensive to ship. So it's so sad. But thank you for everyone who understood that stuffed animals have souls.
Did you just throw them away?
No, I still have them. I haven't gotten rid of them yet. I'm waiting for a shelter I can like get to and give them to the animals. Yeah. But yeah.
Or like a school, like an underprivileged school, maybe you could take an Uber to an area that were a school, like a kindergarten.
Schools don't want.
Oh.
Because of germs. Because I've tried to give them to hospitals. I've tried to give them to like homeless shelters and they just won't take them. So it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. But I will not throw them away because they are living beings and I can't throw them away. By the way, I have to give a shout out to our listener, Christina. I ran into her this weekend in Chelsea, and she is awesome. She was shopping for her boss, trying to get stuff for work to hopefully make her boss happy. And she is just so wonderful. She's the one who recommended those really expensive office chairs.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm sorry, but they're really very, very comfortable. And I felt I was mortified because I was so hungry. And so I was eating a piece of like a sandwich from Starbucks. Like I was taking my mask off from one side, taking a bite of the sandwich, putting my mask back on. But I had gotten like schmear all over the front of my mask. So as I'm talking to wonderful Christina, I just have stains on my fingers, stains on my mask. I look like a complete mess. But Christina could not have been sweeter. Just shout out. Anytime if you ever see us walking around with schmear all over our masks, please come and say hello.
Oh, I love the word schmear. Is that something that you started using when you moved to New York? Did you use schmear in Minnesota?
No. I'd never heard it before I moved here.
Oh, so funny. Oh, New Moon. Can we talk about New Moons for a second?
Yeah. Of course.
There was a taste bud that I was talking to in my DMs because I just loved her Instagram bio, Krista. And so we were chatting and she said she does this thing called New Moon ceremonies. Are you familiar that people do this? Like they have these rituals that they do at the when there's a new moon?
Well, I know that like with spellcraft and witchcraft,
yeah,
certain moons have, you do certain spells at certain moons. Like a new moon, you do spells for like starting new things.
Yes.
Yeah, like
so
new.
So I looked it all up.
I've actually never done one.
I was cleaning my mom's attic out this weekend and I was really hoping that I was going to find my copy of Teen Witch. Begin for Teenagers, Beginner's Guide. But okay, so new moon, you're supposed to set an intention. Every month, the new moon delivers an extra boost of intention-setting energy. Because today is March 1st. That's why this is on my mind. So set a new intention and keep really focused on it. You're supposed to light a candle or bring light into your life in some way on the day of the new moon. Lighting a candle on the darkest night of the month signifies our desire to bring in a little more light into our lives. You're also supposed to begin something new on the day of the new moon. The new moon is the most fertile day of the lunar cycle each month. Oh, it's kind of like, yeah, when you're supposed to conceive a baby too.
Yeah, sure. Okay?
If there was a perfect time for initiating anything new, it would be the day of the new moon. Start a new class, apply for a job, yada, yada, yada. And then they say also, the best day of the month to go on a first date, new moon.
New moon. So this month, the new moon is March 13th.
Yep.
Specifically 3:23 a.m.
Is that a Friday? Friday the 13th?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, balls. Missed a Friday. Yeah.
So it's next week. And then the day after that is daylight saving time. So it's a busy weekend.
Oh, and they say you can make a list and then super magnify the intentions on your list throughout the rest of the month and create a sacred space. Ooh, I can do a circle full of candles.
Sure can. Just make sure you do it. Just make sure you do it right. I got a new athame. I got a new like a knife that I freaking love and it's really metal.
Wait, come again? An athame? It's
like, do you want to see it?
What is that, a witch's knife?
Yeah, it's a witch's knife. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Gentle listener, while Bethany is away getting her witch's knife, I'm going to tell you some jokes about the moon. Did you hear about the great new restaurant on the moon? The food is excellent, but there's no atmosphere. Why did the cow jump over the moon? Because the farmer had cold hands. Touching those udders with cold hands. What holds the moon up? Moon beams. Okay, one more before she comes back. What did the moon say to his therapist? These are from jokes4us.com. What did the moon say to his therapist? I'm just going through a phase.
Sorry, I literally can't remember which of my millions of drawers I put it in.
It's okay. You can't find it?
It's like in my card catalog, but I don't remember. It's, never mind.
Yeah, no, it's in your vintage library catalog, and it's got about 50 drawers. You can't find it. Bethany, what do you call a clock in the moon? A lunar tick. A clock on the moon. Sorry, I read that wrong. A lunar tick.
So I feel like that would make more if it was just like, what do you call an insane clock?
Yeah,
on the moon.
Yeah, or an insane person on the moon.
Oh, and well, it has to do with
lunar tick.
Well, what do you call an insect-based bloodsucker who lives on the moon? A lunar tick.
That's a good one.
No, but it still has to have an aspect of craziness to it.
Why wasn't the moon hungry?
Because it was full.
Yeah.
Woo!
Miss Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen. Oh, you know, that's it? You don't have any more moon humor?
I was doing it while you were gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you one more. Look at you. Look at you asking for more jokes.
You know what? Who knows?
Look at you asking for more jokes. Okay.
Who knows?
Okay. I'm going to give you one more.
Okay.
One more for the road.
Yeah.
Got to make it a good one.
Yeah, make it a solid. Make it a juicy.
Why is an astronaut like a football player?
Because he touches down.
They both want touchdowns. Okay, I've never heard a faker laugh come out of your mouth. It's okay. That one was not, it was only just, it was fine. It was fine.
Oh, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that there is a world of light bulbs that people need to discover.
You sent me the link to the most amazing, like, faceted light bulb. It looked like it looked like the New Year's Eve Rockin' Eve ball that drops.
It did. So, gentle listener, if you are someone who gets hot and bothered by a good Edison bulb, I want to open up your world to other light bulbs. Just hit the googs and run. Google vintage light bulbs, General Electric vintage light bulbs. Go to Ace Hardware.
Ace is the place where the helpful hardware stores.
Yes. Type in vintage light bulbs on Ace. They have an amazing collection, even on Amazon. Fairy lights. I was explaining this to Bethany before the podcast. Fairy lights, very popular with
love them.
Younger millennials and Gen Zers. I mean, it's all about the hygge. It sets an atmosphere, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the lighting.
Yeah.
They make light bulbs full of fairy lights.
So they're like lights within lights.
Lights within lights.
There's like a Russian nesting doll of lights, but like less nesting and more just like shoved them in.
These light bulbs are so gorgeous. I'm about to throw away all the lampshades that I own and just feature light bulbs in my house.
I mean, they're just, and this, yeah, we were talking off air. I just have no idea. I just recently learned what Kelvins do pertaining to light bulbs.
Wait, you know, let me see a Kelvin. Spell that for me.
K-E-L-V-I-N. It pertains to the warmth or the coolness.
Oh, that's a measure of energy.
So it's like, I don't remember which is high and which is low, but like a higher end gives you more of a orange light.
Yes.
Versus the other end gives you more of a cool light, but I don't remember.
Bethany, you have these little lamps that are mice that you screw light bulbs into.
Yeah.
I think people need to start having more fun with their sources of light.
Kathleen, I could not agree with you more.
Right?
It's time to do away with the functional whatever lamp.
Yeah.
And it's time to add a little whimsy. It's time to add a little pizzazz.
Yes.
A little zhuzh to your home and the lighting sources within your house. We have no control over the sun.
No.
We have no control over the moon, but we do have control over our motherfucking light sources.
I'm going to get tiny little, because they make now, they're adorable. They sell them everywhere. Just like little stands that you screw a light bulb into. And it's not a real lamp. It's just a light source. I'm going to start putting these little tiny light sources everywhere. Bethany, Google this. Fat boy light Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters sells them, but they sell them in other stores too. They are these lamps. They're just these circular globes and they have a string and you can hang them wherever you need a light source and you recharge them. Isn't that the coolest thing you've ever seen? It looks like the moon and you can hang it anywhere in your house that you feel like needs a little zhuzh with a light source.
It's like a China ball.
Yeah.
But high quality.
Yeah. And they even sell like little, just for $15 at Target, looks like a little concrete stone and you can screw a light bulb into the top of it and plug it into the wall and bang, you have a cool new light source.
I would prefer a general thing in my apartment surprisingly become a light source rather than me buy another lamp. You know, I would like it if I had a planter that suddenly illuminated and that planter is now a source of light. And it's also within my existing decor.
Two for one.
You know what makes me so mad?
What?
Have I talked about this before?
I don't know.
Lamps that take up more real estate than they deserve. Have we talked about this?
No, we haven't, but go ahead, baby girl.
Kathleen, nothing makes me angrier. How dare they? Those lamps that are tripods.
Yeah.
that like
so much room.
It's one lamp, mm-hmm. but the base is like, if it's a floor lamp, the base extends out to a radius of like 25 inches, because then people are tripping over the legs of your lamp and you can't just put it behind something because it won't fit, because it has three freaking tripod legs that extend so far. How dare it? Same thing with a like a table lamp that has a long arm where it can be like adjusted like a boom.
Okay.
And the long arm sticks out, so you can't shove it up against a wall because there's a freaking long arm there. Well, how dare that lamp take up so much space?
You're talking about the long arm coming out the rear like a tail.
Yes.
Yes.
How dare it?
Because the long arm that lets you adjust where the light is, that's a good long arm, but not the one that the lamp is farting out.
Yeah, that's like an intern coming into a workplace and demanding the kind of parking spot that someone who's been there for 25 years gets. How dare it?
How
you
dare
don't,
you?
You're a lamp. You don't get to take up that much space. What are you, a couch?
Park
no,
in the
you're
back.
A lamp.
You have legs. You walk.
You just suck it up.
Suck it.
If a lamp has three legs, that bullshit. My lamp better be on one stand, taking up as little space as possible. You know its place in the corner.
In
don't you dare. Don't you even think about it.
Bethany,
hate it.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, I learned that if it's been a while since you've cleaned up your space.
Oh, are you talking about down there?
No, I'm talking about my bathroom counter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like waxing your nether
regions. No, okay. Absolutely. I wouldn't talk about that. That's shameful, filthy and shameful.
Okay.
I'm someone who handles just life with like, well, it's good enough. And so I don't try to do anything new or look for something new.
Yeah.
But my bathroom has become just an overflowing source of mess. And I went online and I looked for like makeup organizers. Mm. And Kathleen, the technology involved in makeup organizers has become so advanced and wonderful. If you are having a problem with something, you don't want people to be able to see in your windows, or you need more light, or you need more space, or you need a type of shelf that like wraps around something, you don't have to do with good enough. Look it up, and I'm sure there is something that someone has already thought of to make your life easier.
Yes.
And I just need to learn this lesson, because there, sometimes you deserve to have your life made easier.
We talk about this brand a lot off the mic. Umbra, Bethany.
Yeah.
Has a cosmetic organizer called the Pirouette Cosmetic Organizer, and it is gorgeous.
Kathleen, I bought it last night.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I bought it last night.
It's going to be the best $25 that you've ever spent.
And can I tell you, at the time, our friends at Honey found me a $20 off coupon code. So that organizer cost me $5.
Bethany, I used that same coupon to buy I'm losing my words. I'm so excited to buy a curtain rack for my mom. That's a double curtain rack.
I don't even think they are sponsors anymore, but God bless Honey.
Honey is the best thing ever.
I want Honey.
Honey, gentle listener, install it into your browser. Save yourself tons of money while you're shopping. Yeah, a $35 curtain rod. I got $20 off, cost $15. I was like, Ma, we're going to buy the whole store with this coupon.
I know. It's because it's usually like it must be a certain dollar amount for that $20 to come off. But nope. So it was a $5 Pirouette organizer thingy.
Umbra, one of the best, coolest companies ever in terms of
design.
Hashtag
non-spawn.
Yeah. They're not.
Hashtag totally we would spawn, though, if they wanted us to spawn.
They should. I have so many. Okay. Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Bethany and on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
You can follow me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
And you can find us on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, we're going to be launching our close friends list soon. So if you want to get on that, you have to sign up on Patreon for $2 a month, please.
And that's patreon.com/acquired taste. You can find us on Facebook and Acquired Taste Podcast. Also, search for the fan group. We are not in charge of it. Y'all are, and amazing, incredible, wonderful people. We're so grateful for you.
We have an email address, electronic mail, and that is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of email, we have a newsletter that goes out a couple times a month. So if you go to our website, acquiredtastepodcast.com, you can sign up for the newsletter there.
Absolutely. We also have a physical address if you want to send us snail mail: an Acquire Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, we mentioned this in section one, but please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media, Twitter at Shargar, Instagram lit_fuck.
And if you watch any of our videos on social, they are all edited by Dennis Callow, and you can follow him at Dennis Callow, Callo.
All right. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. It's Taste Bud Emily here, longtime listener, first time caller. Anyway, I just finished listening to the latest episode, and you all said something that flipped my CPA switch. You were joking about how, with everything else the government has going on, you'd skip filing your taxes and wait out the statute of limitations. Don't do that. In most cases, there's a 3-year limit for an IRS audit, but if you screw up big enough, the limit goes up. 6 years for larger issues, and no limit if you don't file a return or file a fraudulent return. So file those taxes. I'll give you the friends and family discount this once, but next time I'll send a bill. Just kidding. Love you. Love the show. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Jessica from New Jersey. I had to call because recently I became a new mom as of 3 weeks ago, and I recently went through some definite baby blues, like after you have the baby and stuff, and I just got back into listening to your podcast, and let me tell you, it really helped bring me back to myself and what makes me happy, and it brought me a lot of joy, and I just had to tell you guys, you ladies, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you do, and being there for all of us Taste Buds. I love you. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Lindsay calling from Ohio. Just giving you a call to respond to something Kathleen recently mentioned on the pod. So the comment was made about concerns about getting weighed when going to the doctor. And this is something I'm pretty invested in since I'm an eating disorders dietitian. I came across this really awesome page, and it is morelove.org. They have these awesome business cards that state, please don't weigh me unless it's really medically necessary. And it has a great information on the page in general, but I think it's a great message because it's just, it's simple little card, easy to provide a medical provider with, and might kind of be helpful in a difficult situation. So check out morelove.org. They actually have an option on their website to get free cards sent to you in the United States. So hopefully that was helpful. I think it's really cool to see that we don't necessarily need to have weights unless it's medically necessity, and not often do we need that. So hope you guys are having a great day, and talk to you soon.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen and all the Taste Buds out there. This is Taste Bud Christian. So just had to stop the podcast, the most recent one about butterflies and collecting. So I'm calling in because actually I am a collector. I'm going to be 35 in March. But yeah, no, I don't collect butterflies, but I collect Funko Pops, which are plastic little vinyl characters, and they're molded after like a bunch of things in pop culture. The funny part was, though, I also felt the same thing where collecting, I thought, was kind of like a dead thing that no one really did anymore. But you'd be surprised that there are actually people who still collect. And actually, you'd be also surprised to know that a lot of these items that people collect do have value. Funko Pops right now, a lot of people think is going to be like the Beanie Babies. But actually, there's a difference. Because unlike Beanie Babies, they said that they were limited edition, but they weren't really. With Funko Pops, they can be limited. But anyway, that's a longer topic. I'm a collector. I collect things. I wasn't into collecting until a couple years ago. I think it has something to do with trying to fill a void in my life mentally.
Hi, this is Taste Bud Katie from Connecticut. I just am listening to the current podcast, and I had to pause it because you were talking about how TikTok is now saying that wearing skinny jeans and the side part and the crying laughing emoji are millennial, like old people things. And I forget who said it, Kathleen or Bethany was like, oh, what are you supposed to use instead of the crying laughing emoji? And according to all the cool hip kids, you're supposed to use the dead skull. You know how people say like, oh my God, I'm dead. Well, people do say that if you're not sure if they do, but they do. And that just means like I'm laughing super hard. And apparently that's now the cool thing. But I always use the laughing, crying emoji. So that ain't going anywhere for me. And I do also have a side part. So I guess I'm old too. So thanks. Have a good day, guys.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Taste Bud Shayna from Connecticut. I just got done listening to the bonus episode, Kathleen, where you were talking about going to your doctor and feeling like there was something wrong, but you were afraid that they were just going to say, oh, well, you've gained weight and this is the cause of what's going on with you. I just wanted to call in and encourage you to make sure that you advocate for yourself. It's one of my super passions in life is ensuring that women are advocating for their own health care, because so many times our problems do get swept under the rug. I know personally I just got diagnosed in the last 6 months with rheumatoid arthritis, and I've struggled with it for the last 10 years or so, where doctors would tell me, oh, you just need to lose weight, this, that, and the other thing. And turns out something was really wrong with me the whole time. Blood tests don't lie. And it finally took one doctor who was listening to me to be diagnosed and be on the path to getting better. And also shout out to my mama buds who have been there for me as I've been going through this diagnosis. I love you all. And thank you, Kathleen and Bethany, for everything you do. And that's all I have to say. Okay, bye.
Kathleen, first of all, can I just say that I have to stop the podcast midway because I needed to tell you something so important. You cannot buy furniture from somebody. I don't care how clean they are. These little critter bed bugs, they get everywhere and anywhere. Do not buy them from another person. Think of it as an investment into your life. Your butt is going to be sitting on this couch for how long? You want to go ahead and make sure that you're investing in something amazing. You want to go ahead and make sure that you're spending the money. Make sure that you spend the money on something that is of value. So go ahead and spend the extra $100 and go ahead and go on Wayfair. Go on Raymore Flanigan. Even if you wanted to go with Bob's Furniture to go ahead and just go on the more economical side, please, please, please do not buy furniture from somebody else. Okay, I have to go listen to the rest of the podcast, but I just needed to get that off my chest.